It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, and today we're talking about the newest Sopris Theater Company production. It's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Jack Nicholson. Am I right, Wendy?
That is correct.
In the movie, anyway.
Film, yes.
Wendy Tennis is the director of this show. First time here. I'll try and go easy on you. If you make a similar promise.
I can't make that promise today, Gabe.
Okay. I will admit, the movie, I was, probably three or four, I think, when the movie came out. I have not seen it. Obviously, it probably wasn't appropriate when I was a kid, and then later on, it was, you know, one of those old movies with, you know, things like Ghostbusters and Footloose and so on and so forth that I was more interested in later on. So the, if you will, the short synopsis of what this the play is about. First of all, does the play follow the same timeline as the movie and the same story?
Both take place in the 1960s. And I believe the film came out in 73, 75, something like that. The stage production preceded that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's another case of it was a stage show and they said, hey, this would make a great movie.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And the focus is it centers around an institution back in the 60s that mental institutions, as so many are familiar with, were not what you would call healing environments. They were places where we didn't know what to do with people, so we'd send them to the institution because mental illness was not understood at that time period in any way, shape, or form. And so if we didn't know what to do with that, we'd institutionalize. And this particular institution has an array of characters, some of which are committed for various reasons, and some have self-committed. And so they're there to seek attention and therapy and help. And in this environment, one person is thrown as an option to his work farm criminal, and I'll put criminal in quotes, experience, and that would be R.P. McMurphy. And he is definitely a fish out of water. Everyone who's in there doesn't know quite what to do with him. And he becomes the catalyst for all of these patients to change and grow. And one in particular would be the chief, Bromden, who has been there a very long time, almost, well, longer than one of the principal staff members, Nurse Ratchet. And he has transcended, I won't give away the ending, but everybody knows it, from the film. But it really is about his growth and change and being able to go back into the world a different person and a stronger person because of McMurphy.
This is a comedy, by the way.
It is a roller coaster of emotions.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say. Okay. There are some very intense emotions and some very strong power plays, but it's also very, very funny.
So much
and
like
very
those
fun to watch.
Much like those 80s sitcoms then. It's funny and you'll laugh, but there will be some very serious moments that'll make you think as well.
Very serious moments about how we want treat one another.
Appropriate for kids?
No.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry. Was that too quick? There's a lot of language. There's a lot of adult themes that are both hinted at in a humoristic way, and there's also some very strong, powerful moments that I would say not appropriate for children.
So if you were going to put an absolute minimum age on this show, what would it be? Would it be rated R? Would it be 17?
PG-13.
PG-13. Okay.
If I were to rate it, yeah.
Okay.
I think that the language is perhaps more of a big deal for parents than it is for teenagers. But the themes are very mature and need to be received in that manner.
Okay. So let's go one by one with the cast members that you brought with you today. Let's start with Lisa Langer.
Let's start with Lisa Langer. This is that cast member I alluded to, that wonderful staff member, Nurse Ratchet, which is everyone's favorite. It's amazing that whenever I say this play, two characters jump to mind, and it's usually Nurse Ratchet is the first one because everybody knows Nurse Ratchet.
Or in my case, I know her counterpart in High Anxiety, which was Nurse Cratchit. Remember?
Yes.
Played by Cloris Leachman.
Very different characterization, yes. But she is – Lisa is an amazing Nurse Ratched. If you are familiar with the character, you have to see Lisa.
But she seems so nice.
She does. We all have a dark side, Gabe.
Apparently. Apparently. So, Lisa, you get to let the dark side out a little bit with this character.
I do. It's a really great role to play. It's kind of one of those – lifetime achievement roles, if you want to put it that way. But, you know, I'm here to kind of vindicate Nurse Ratched because she does not do these things out of spite. You know, she really does believe that she is helping the greater good of the institution, and she's trying to help these patients. And she just needs order, and people need to follow the rules. So that's kind of where I'm playing Nurse Ratched from.
Okay.
The fact that she needs order and she needs to be respected and rules need to be followed in order to cure and help these other folks.
Well, as someone smarter than I once said, everyone does the best they can given their map of the world at the time.
That's right.
Clearly, that is where you're coming from with your portrayal of Nurse Ratched.
Absolutely.
In the 60s, were they still – they were still using on a regular basis electroshock therapy.
That's correct. And there is electroshock therapy treatments in the play. So, yeah.
All right.
And well, I do prescribe that would be a good idea for one particular patient, Mr. McMurphy, who is really trying. You know, he's
really trying
people.
And you want to help him. You want to push him, give him just a little – helpful push.
He's not trying in that way. He's trying.
Oh, trying is he's getting on your nerves.
Yes, he's getting on my nerves, and he's causing a lot of disruption for the whole staff and all the patients. And in my opinion, he's making everything deteriorate as far as, you know, all of the synergy, and he's causing chaos.
Okay, which Nurse Ratched is, she wants the opposite of chaos.
Absolutely. She needs
total
smooth,
and complete order.
Yes, she needs order. Okay. She needs to be in control, and he's causing this disruption.
Wendy said that this production is a lot about the growth of the individual characters. Mm-hmm. Does that include Nurse Ratched? Does she see a growth, some kind of realization in the course of the show? You're thinking about this pretty hard, so I'm guessing the answer is not going to be a positive one.
She does, but she sees this disruption, this injection of a chaotic character as a drawback to the total order of the society, as they call it, society in miniature, this psychiatric ward. And I don't think she really is going to grow. She's set in her ways.
So kind of like someone I went to high school with, a teacher suggested that he would adjust and bend with certain rules, and he said, I'll break first.
Yes.
That would be Nurse Ratched.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And actually, McMurphy is the same way. I mean, they're really butt heads in similar ways. She's total control and order and respect, and he's chaos and let's stir the pot.
Is that Brendan?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a perfect spot to take a break
segue.
Then. So we will, segue right into McMurphy's character, and played by Brendan Cochran when we come back. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again this afternoon, we're visiting with Wendy Tennis, who is the director of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a Sopris Theater Company production, which, oh, by the way, you can see at CMC's Spring Valley campus in the New Space Theater. It's the same number of shows, but a little bit different schedule than what we're used to. So Friday and Saturday, April 14th and 15th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, 7 o'clock shows those days, and then we've got a couple matinees as well. No matinee on Easter Sunday, because it is Easter Sunday. So a matinee on Saturday the 22nd, and then on Sunday the 23rd, those matinees at 2 o'clock. Tickets are $18 general admission, $13 for students, seniors, CMC faculty, and staff. Again, Wendy says if this were a movie, she'd You said PG-13.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, just use your own best judgment when you're thinking about bringing your teenage kids. As you said, a lot of parents would probably be more offended than the kids would.
Which, and that's not necessarily what we're striving for.
Right, exactly.
But we're happy to help.
You can also get tickets on Eventbrite.com as well. Mm-hmm. If you would like to do those online, you can call the box office also at 947-8177. So we were visiting with Lisa Langer, who plays the part of Nurse Ratched. Would you say this is fair, Lisa, that she's probably not one of the more popular members of the cast? I mean, she's kind of the antagonist, isn't she, really?
Yeah, she's one of the antagonists.
Well,
in the show.
Also, you said that kind of her perfect opposite is Brendan Cochran's character, which is McMurphy?
Yes.
And so, Brendan, tell us about McMurphy. So if Nurse Ratched wants total control, everything is smooth and quiet and calm, then if he wants the opposite, that means he wants everything to be, I hate to use the term, crazy, but I guess if it fits.
Definitely a kind of loose and free kind of guy. He's sort of the unstoppable force that meets Miss Ratched's immovable object. So,
okay. Well said. Okay. I like that.
I was going to say, was this in the front page of the script, or did you just come up with that?
I think he was thinking about that on the way over.
He had time to prepare.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, no, McMurphy definitely is sort of iconic of that beat generation of the early 50s, early 60s. The original
the B
novel.
Generation?
The Beat generation.
Beat, okay.
Kind of the precursors to the hippies. They were a little more wild and crazy and writing poetry and playing bongos and doing all the stuff that society didn't want them to do. So,
what is McMurphy's history in the psychiatric ward?
So it's not real well established. You know, he hasn't. His sort of backstory as he comes in, he's sort of thrown into this whole situation. We definitely know that he is a gambler, a fun-loving guy, likes to party, likes to get into brawls as often as he can, and has definitely been in and out of the correctional facilities for a good bit of his life.
So he's the one, Wendy, that you were talking about that he actually came from jail or prison of some kind.
Yes. He figured out a loophole to get out of the jail situation, a correctional facility, and into this institution, which perhaps is more than he bargained for.
Out of the frying pan into the fire?
Yeah.
More or less.
He shows up sort of thinking he's got a free ride in this whole situation, and all of a sudden he's got a nice cushy bed and good food. And
there's Nurse Ratched with the electricity machine.
Exactly.
<right?
laughs> Coming after me with 3,000 volts.
I'm guessing that he doesn't care for the juice too much.
No, he's not really about to admit it to anybody, but he's goes toe-to-toe with Nurse Ratched, and that's sort of her secret weapon she pulls out against him.
And for his own good.
Yes. It's done with love.
Absolutely.
Okay. I've got chills from the way you said that.
Sometimes
I'm not joking.
We've been rehearsing a long time.
I was this close to making a run for the door when you said that, Lisa. I'm not even joking with you right there.
Gabe, that's why the door's locked.
That's why we're in a padded room.
Indeed. So, Brendan, again, the common theme of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, as Wendy pointed out, is, you know, everybody's growing and changing and developing through the course of the show. So what's McMurphy's great, what's the word I'm looking for, revelation?
Mm. Well, I think the thing that really starts to drive him as the play goes on is he goes from being a very sort of loose, wild card character to really coming to care about the other guys in the ward and realizing that he sort of has this ability to embolden them and sort of build them up as people that the institution has really failed to do. It's sort of their goal, and they haven't really been able to accomplish.
So the irony would be, you know, here's a guy that if you will, kind of cheated the system because he thought he could get a free ride in mental health ward. And then he ends up finding not only is it not a free ride, but he actually has something to offer that this professional staff was not able to provide up to that point.
Yeah, definitely. And it really starts to weigh on him, the sort of weight of the world of that whole situation, and see it sort of slowly wearing him down in this conflict with Ratchet.
What's his sentence, by the way? What was his jail sentence? Do we know that?
Oh, I don't know what he was sentenced for. I know it was a two-year sentence, but he's got a record of gambling, assault and battery, public drunkenness, pretty much anything in that realm you can think of.
Sounds like a real nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to understand why he would need a little jolt every now and then. So, Wendy, as we continue talking about the show, and we've still got one member of the cast we haven't talked to, and that's Scott Elmore.
Yes.
So tell us about Scott's character.
Scott plays Martini, and he is one of the patients in the ward. And each of the patients has so much. This is one of the things I love about this script, is it is so rich with possibilities. And each of the characters really has taken the time throughout the rehearsal process to sculpt within themselves what they've brought to the character. And Martini is one of those characters that has a very unique reason for being in the institution. And I am so proud of all of the patients, Martini included, in how they've created these characters from the script, from the framework, and how they've put themselves into that to make them unique into their experience and how they interact with McMurphy, how they interact with one another, and how they've created this world, this society in miniature, as Nurse Ratchet said, that really works and actually butts up against each other to the conflicts.
I love how you called her by her character's name rather than Lisa.
You should probably know I call them all by their character's names.
Yes.
Interesting.
We won't go into that.
That's probably a little deeper than we really need
Absolutely.
To get into the conversation today. So, Scott, what's Martini's story?
Martini is a patient who's been there for a while. He was there a while before Mac got there, and he assumed he'd be there for a while after Mac's been in the institution. Due to his condition, he's going to be there for a while, and he knows he's going to probably be there for the rest of his life. So he's one of those who's kind of found his space in the institution before Mac arrives. He's found his rut, and he runs around in it, and he enjoys it.
So he's reconciled to the fact that this is his home now. This is how things are going to be. You're occasionally going to receive the electric shock therapy.
Actually, one of the biggest things about it is, like, you find strategies to avoid it. Because you don't want, you know, it's like you don't want to get it. Like, everyone else is running from this, running from these possibilities. It's why we're all so submissive, I guess you could say. And then the wild card that kind of kicks us all out of the rut or just pulls us out of our own will is when McMurphy shows up. He helps us all out and see that there's a better way to do things, better than what the institutions have been having us do. You know, it's like the same. Nothing's changed for me. Like, every time someone comes in, it's like it's this routine that happens to them. You watch them break down. That never happens to McMurphy. He's this strong guy that shows up, and despite all the stuff that's thrown at him, he doesn't back down at all. And that's what really inspires the rest of us patients to get going and kind of take a step up ourselves and see what happens.
So as opposed to learning all the different ways you can avoid the unpleasant stuff that goes on in the ward, you actually learn other ways to continue to survive and exist.
It sounds complicated.
It sounds like it's honestly
I can count the number of lines I have on my hands, and yet it's probably one of the hardest roles I've ever done. I have plenty of stage time, but it's like Wendy said, there's so much freedom in this. Like, this is definitely one of those productions that, you know, you could see ours, love it, and then you could go see another one of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and love it for totally different reasons.
Is it difficult because you have so few lines, and so You have to tell the story with your body language and your facial expressions,
yes,
as opposed to just coming out and saying.
I do a lot of listening in the play, and almost everyone does. It's a very large cast, and it's one of the and everyone in it has taken the time to, you know, create characters from themselves with the tools that have been given to them in the script. But it's a lot of listening. It really is. And everyone has taken the time to, like, learn the ways in which they listen to each other.
How can you continue to be that attentive on stage and continue to listen and make it clear that you're listening when you've rehearsed this show, you know, however many times? Do you find that you're – that's what I always worried about. I always worried, oh, if I was in that situation, my mind, I know, is going to wander. I'm going to think, oh, look, there's a lady in the audience. She's got a ribbon in her hair. Well, that's interesting. And then miss your cue or something like that. Not Lisa, you're shaking your head no.
It all changes when the audience arrives, because that energizes, I think, from my own perspective, that energizes me. It usually energizes the rest of the cast. I mean, if they're dedicated to the character and to the play, and want the director to be happy with their performance, then of course they really hone in on their character and what's happening within their society in miniature. I'm going to use that again, but within the play, within the cast. And, you know, the audience is there. They really add energy to an actor.
The audience helps a lot, but one of the things, like you say, you have trouble listening. I don't have any trouble listening, because this play is just, even though I've done it a million times, it's fascinating to watch over and over again. And one of the reasons we rehearse for such a long time is because it oftentimes, a lot of the key moments for ourselves as actors, we find very late in the process. You know, it takes time. You know, you can't find this without having accidentally stumbled upon this another thing first. And, you know, as to, like, listening and staying focused, it's live theater. Something slightly different happens every time, you know.
Or something goes wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't have any trouble listening in this play, but if I ever have trouble, like, listening as an actor on stage, it's like I can't imagine what the audience is feeling, not you know, because they're not exactly forced to participate, but they won't have any problems with this. It's almost second nature to just watch what's going on with this play, and I hope it's the same for the audience that comes.
Again, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a Sopris Theater Company production. It opens on Friday night, April 14th, continues Saturday the 15th. Then the following Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all those shows at 7 o'clock. Again, the matinee schedule is a little different. There is no matinee on Easter Sunday. Instead, matinees on Saturday and Sunday, the 22nd and 23rd. Tickets just $18 for general admission, $13 for students, seniors, CMC faculty, and staff. You can get them by calling the box office at 947-8177. They're also on Eventbrite, so eventbrite.com. Again, it takes place at the New Space Theater at CMC's Spring Valley campus. One final break. We'll come back and wrap things up in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're visiting with Wendy Tennis, the director of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a Sopris Theater Company production at CMC's New Space Theater. Again, opens on April 14th. Then the final show is a matinee on the 23rd. I'll give you the complete schedule, and tickets are available at eventbrite.com. We also visited with Scott Elmore, Brendan Cochran, Lisa Langer, who represent three of the cast members in this show. Wendy, you mentioned that One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest takes place in the 60s.
Correct.
When mental health awareness and the awareness of mental health was certainly not what it is.
No.
In this day and age, and again, you said it's not a complete comedy. It's really a roller coaster.
Yes.
There are definitely light moments, and there are very heavy, serious moments.
Yes, absolutely.
Is it still relevant in this day and age?
Absolutely.
A lot of times, you know, things that we made fun of in the 50s and 60s or in previous days we no longer think are appropriate to make fun of and laugh at. But that's not the case with this show.
No, this show really gives us I think it's very timeless. It takes place in the 60s, but it also gives a statement of how important it is that we understand things that we don't understand, and that we give that acceptance and we try to understand it, behaviors and things like that that may or may not be labeled, may or may not occur through different eyes and different viewpoints, and so that we really take a look at how we treat one another based on our own agendas, our own evaluations of one another, and how we interact and how those dynamics can truly influence another person's journey or path. And I think we've talked a bit about that.
Even if, like in the case of McMurphy, we don't have any special skills or training.
Exactly. Exactly. We all have a very strong influence on each other emotionally and behaviorally, and we need to maybe take a step back and look at that, because perhaps we don't realize how strongly we impact others when we do certain things or say certain things about that.
Reminds me of a lecture we got in fifth grade about our behavior on the playground and how the kindergartners and first graders were watching us, and maybe we should be a little more careful about how we conducted ourselves.
Yes. I did want to talk just momentarily about one particular character. There are 18 cast members. That's a very large cast, as we mentioned before, but one cast member who could not be here today, but is so influential in this and how he has found a way to survive in this environment, is Chief Bromden. And he is so central to everything and his impact on McMurphy and McMurphy's impact on him, and how he has been influential in the environment, perhaps without everybody knowing that. And I guess you're just going to have to come see the show to see what I'm talking about.
Who plays the chief, by the way?
Michael Banks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you refer to everybody by their character's name, so I feel a little bad asking that.
You just wanted to quiz me. And that's good. I have a list right here.
Just in case.
Well, for folks that are familiar with him or know him, come out and see him. Oftentimes we hear, if there's a really good movie, folks will say, the movie was great, but you really got to read the book. Mm-hmm. In the case of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, it is a movie. It was a play before that. And it actually started as a book even before that.
Yes, by Ken Kesey, yes.
All three, unique in their own ways, have something different to offer, would you say?
Absolutely. The book was where it all started, by Ken Kesey, and then Dale Wasserman adapted the script, the play, to it, and then the screenplay came later on. And I think as you go through each of those readings, each of those pieces, different authors, different writers have found a way to zero in on what they wanted to evolve from that. And when we started this process, I know that most in the cast had probably read the book, most in the cast had probably seen the movie, but we really wanted to focus in on what was given to us as a structure, as a script, and how they could develop this unique production about this.
Is that true of the three of you? Did you guys read the book?
I haven't, actually. This is Scott Elmore. I never saw either, and I honestly considered it a blessing in doing this production.
because you started with a clean slate.
Yeah. It's you know, having – it's not like I had something to compare myself to. I really – you know, I found it all myself. Yes. So, you know, my character's in the movie somewhere, Martini, and I plan on watching the movie after everything is said and done with this production, and then maybe I'll kick myself in the butt. But but until then, you know,
maybe give yourself a little electric shock.
Yeah, something very you know, I'm going to bring something to the table very different than so is everyone else. In
everyone
the cast
does. Yeah.
Than what's in this,
Brandon? What about you? Had you read the book?
I saw the movie a long time ago, probably about middle school time period, and. I did read the book about 6 months ago.
I was going to say, considering your dad, I would kind of expect you to have some kind of knowledge.
Yeah, so definitely did a little, you know, it was partly character research. That was before we started the rehearsal process. And I did think it was helpful just to get a little more in-depth feel for who the character was of McMurphy, and then be able to kind of leave that behind and get focused on the script.
You have your dad's laugh, too, by the way. That's hilarious. Totally. Lisa, what about you?
I watched the movie years ago. Okay. And when I do a show, I do not like to watch a movie or see something that would...
You want to be as blank as you can.
Yes. I want to interpret it and portray the character as I see it and as the director wants me to.
Have you been involved with shows in the past, Lisa?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. You've just never been here before, and so
no,
I may have
talked to you on the phone.
I see your name on emails, I'm sure, from time to time through your right. job at the chamber.
Yeah.
Wendy, I also have not met you before.
Well, then this is a first for both of us.
There you go. Have you directed other shows in
Yes. I've directed quite a few shows, but not for a while. I took about a little 10-year hiatus from directing.
So why One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as your coming back show, if you will?
Probably one of my most favorite scripts. I did direct this back in 1999 in Summit County. And it's always stuck in my mind as one of the richest scripts I've ever worked with, and the possibilities are endless. And so I thought it would be very good at CMC because the mixture of community members along with students.
Sure.
10 of my cast members are students, current students. Several of them are past students. But I love this script, and I was very excited when Gary Katzenberger decided to put it in this year's season because I think this just brings a lot of possibilities to that space.
How would you rate this cast? If you were going to give them a letter
What's
grade.
What's my scale?
You're going to give them a letter grade.
A letter grade?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that
there
was Brad.
Money hands. Exchanging hands, yes.
Unfortunately, and there's a lot of gambling that takes place in the play. No one, well, I'm just too expensive. So no one can buy me. But honestly, these guys are top-notch A+. I really am impressed with the way, and Scott alluded to this earlier, that the way that they listen, the way that they pay attention to one another's body language and their characterization on stage, they are in the moment at every turn. And I think the audience will really enjoy watching that experience as they're now a part of it.
All right.
And watching that evolve.
Well, now that you're back into it, as it were, I look forward to talking to you again sometime in the future.
Well, thank you very much.
Again, Lisa, Scott, Brendan, thank you all for dropping by.
Thanks for having us. Thank
you. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the Sopris Theater Company production. Again, it opens on Friday, April 14th, continues Saturday the 15th, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. All of those shows at 7 o'clock. Doors 30 minutes before?
Yes.
Typically? Okay. And then the matinees. There are two matinees this year, but no matinee on Easter Sunday. Matinee on Saturday the 22nd, and then Sunday the 23rd at 2 o'clock. Again, tickets just $18 general admission, $13 for students, seniors, and CMC faculty and staff. You can get those at eventbrite.com, or you can call 947-8177. And if you have seen the movie, I'm sure as an audience member, you can't help it. I'm sure you'll be comparing Brendan with Jack Nicholson.
Absolutely.
Just the way it is, right?
That's right.
Thank you all again very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All the best. You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.